you so much. I want to thank Dwayne, first of all, for offering a wonderful message last Sunday while I was away preaching at the Harrisonburg UU Church. Thank you so much. I also want to say that I'm running, my thermostat's running a little hot today, so if I take off my jacket in the middle of my sermon like an old-time evangelist, don't get too worried, okay? Will you join me now in prayer? Loving spirit of kindness and calmness, we give thanks for all the beauty that surrounds us. We give thanks for the world within us and the world beyond us. We give thanks for not losing our humanity in a world that is all too often inhumane to people, to animals, to nature. We give thanks for outgrowing the things that are childish, and yet at the same time we ask your help in helping us to find the way of the child, the way of youth, the graces of faith, hope, and love in lives that are filled with choice. Help us to listen, remember, and refine the art of living. Great teacher, teach us, and grant us an awareness of your presence with us, moving in us, around us, and through us. In your many holy names we pray. Amen. Now there's a reading I want to share with you. It is the heart of the Torah, and it is from Leviticus 19. You shall be holy, for I, your God, am holy. When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the edges of your field, nor gather the gleanings, nor the fallen grapes. Leave these for the poor, the alien, and the foreigner. You shall not steal, cheat, or lie to another. You shall not defraud nor rob. You shall be holy, for I, your God, am holy. You must love your neighbor as you love yourself. You shall be holy, for I, your God, am holy. Wow. Religion is such a wonderful thing, in theory. In practice, to be honest, we tend to screw it up a lot. All too often, we seem to miss all of the beautiful instructions on how to care for each other and ourselves. Things like do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. All too often, it seems more like do injustice, hate and anger, and stomp around loudly with a God who behaves just like you do. Instead of you shall be holy, for I, your God, am holy. Theologian Frederick Buechner said, if you want to be holy, be kind. So simple. Love justice. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love. Just love. Valentine's Day, a day celebrating love and romantic love, and Ash Wednesday, a day that begins the Lenten season, a day that reminds us of our mortality, with ashes imposed on the foreheads of the faithful, with the traditional solemn reminder, remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. In the 1969 Roman Rite revision, an alternate phrase was added that is sometimes used instead, repent and believe in the good news, underlining the theme of repentance, or turning, or the changing of one's mind, one's way of thinking that weaves through the season of Lent. Now, the last time Valentine's Day and Ash Wednesday converged was in 1946. And that convergence left a lot of ministers scrambling this year, trying to decide if or how they might parallel process the two on that day. I even heard some of my colleagues offer to impose the ashes in the shape of a heart on the foreheads of the faithful if they so desired. Now, of course, this convergence may not be as challenging nor as interesting as the one coming when April Fool's Day and Easter fall on the same day this year. They haven't done that since 1956. I'm looking forward to that one. But also, on that day this year, it was marked by another example of humanity's insanity, a mass shooting at a school, for God's sake, where the youngest among us gather together to learn. Actually, it is this nation's insanity. We have more mass shootings than the nearest 10 nations combined. We boldly boast to be the most powerful nation on earth. We are armed to the teeth with 300 million guns. That's more than one gun for every person. And yet, with all that weaponry and power, we seem unable to do anything about these mass shootings. It seems that all some people want is to throw more guns into the mix. They say we should fight fire with fire, just like when your house is on fire and you start lighting more stuff on fire. Makes about the same amount of sense. All some people want are bigger and better weapons, both for themselves and for this nation. It is an obsession. But one day, the survivors of these shootings are going to rise up and become a loud and deafening voice in the wilderness, one that can no longer be ignored and will fill this great nation with shame. But until that day, we seem helpless, with nothing to do except thoughts and prayers and move on. Well, maybe that's not true this time. I give great thanks for the youth in this country who are rising up just so to declare that their lives and the lives of their teachers and friends are not expendable. And so I think about Isaiah 11. A bud will come out of the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of those roots. This one will not judge by appearance or by hearsay, but by what is right. And in those times, the wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the lion and the fatling shall be together. And a little child shall lead them. I give thanks for the leadership of our children today as they teach us how to find our voices again, as they speak truth to power. It gives me something that I may have missed. It gives me hope. It gives me hope, and hope is a powerful thing. As we enter the season of Lent, all of these things are swirling in my heart, and given Dwayne's wonderful beginning to the season last Sunday, I would like us to continue to consider the things in our lives that may be holding us back, things that we may be best served by giving up, releasing, or at the very least, reflecting on their importance and significance in our lives and the ways that they may be less than helpful to our journey forward. Because there are many beautiful things about our faith tradition that we all too often ignore, overlook, or miss. Practical prescriptions that may help us to lead a better life and to make the best use of all the opportunities that we may encounter in the course of our days. The passage selected today from the Good News according to Matthew is most often used to speak against an obsession with money, but at its core, it is about worry. I used the Message translation today, and I'm sure there was a good reason when I picked it, but the more traditional reading says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, or about your body. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, yet God feeds them. Consider the flowers, clothed in beauties. They don't worry. Yet I tell you, Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these." So stop all this worry stuff. It will not make you any taller. That much I promise you. It will not help you to grow, for goodness sakes. Think about that. It will not help you to grow. It will not make your life one moment longer. In fact, medical science suggests worry may actually make your life shorter. Even so, those of you who know me know that despite my best efforts otherwise, I am a worrywart. I own it. But I'm working on it. I'm much better than I used to be. You've seen worry stones, haven't you? You've seen them. You know what I'm talking about. I actually wore one of them out.
No, I'm seriously, I broke it. I have it here. Decades ago. Now, I keep it as a reminder to me of the consequences of excessive worry and anxiety. It will indeed break me. It will break me. So, what to do about it? In the scripture, Jesus is clearly calling us outside of ourselves and is saying, look at the birds. Look at the flowers. Walk into the fields. Calling us outside of ourselves. Calling us to shift our attention to look outside of ourselves. And I try to do that. I try to seek touchstones, people, places, and things that draw me out of myself and return me to the beauty of this moment. Things and people that help me to relax. Leave my preoccupations behind, that I am not so focused on getting, so that I can respond to God's great giving. Now that works for me. And that leads me to my antidote for worry, which is hope. Hope is a powerful thing, and it is one of the first things that those who seek to control others for their own means seek to dash and destroy first. Because I will tell you, a hopeless population never rises in opposition, never calls for change. Hope changes things. Hope encourages us to go on when only heaven knows where we are going, when only heaven knows how we will get there. I think hope leads us to our better selves. This is indeed a part of the graceful art of living. God will take care of you even better than the birds. God feeds the birds, true. Wild seed and mullet. But you know who else feeds the birds? Heather and I. And you. And you. And you. And many of us do. Spirit speaks to the heart of humanity, and we do. It is not magical thinking. It is not just thoughts and prayers, people, and move on. No, we are moved to move. We do. We are the doers. There has to be a do, and it is me and you. Spirit speaks to the heart of humanity, and we do. There's an old story. I heard it first from my dad. There was a young child on the streets. She had no shoes, and she seemed hungry. But she was singing, Jesus loves me. An old woman, cruel and hard of heart, walked past her and said, if God loves you so much, then why doesn't God send you food and shoes? The little child responded, God told someone, but they forgot. Get outside of yourself, people. What are you being told to do? We are indeed the hands and feet of Christ in this world, and the little children shall lead them. Let the Spirit moving within you help you to become more of who you are, more of your authentic self. The Appalachian Trail is a long hike. It's roughly 2,200 miles, very roughly. A rough and rocky and muddy path from Springer Mountain, Georgia, to Mount Katahdin in Maine. But a rough way also filled with a lot of beauty, a lot of birds, flowers, wonderful fields along the way. Hikers often find extra protein bars left behind in a food box, or bottled water in a stream, or a place to stay, or a free meal. Things one needs when one needs them most. It's called trail magic. It's a quintessential and essential part of the Appalachian Trail experience. But it's not magic at all. It is human kindness. As one hiker says, random acts of human kindness breathe life into the Appalachian Trail. Strangers helping strangers for no profit or glory, just because. Spirit moves in mysterious ways. Magical ways, kind ways. We do try to take care of one another.
And in that care lies the hope for humanity.
There are so many things to worry about. It can consume us, distract us, pull us away, cause us to forget why we came, forget why we are here, forget what we need to do.
There's a line in a Jimmy Buffett song. I would rather die while I'm living than live while I'm dead.
Life is indeed for the living. Don't let worry make you miss life.
The birds, the flowers, the fields, the beauty of each other, of looking into each other's lives, of conversing with another person.
So don't worry about life. Don't worry about death. Just be aware that both are coming at you very fast.
Faster than you may realize. So make the most of one before the other arrives.
Elizabeth Kubler-Ross reminds us, just as Matthew does, to use the day. To live beyond appearances, beyond conformity in the shell of ourselves, encouraging us to become more of who we are. More of who we were made to be, not who the world shapes us to be. To take the day you have to grow, to reach out to other human beings, even though it may seem hard to do sometimes. And I believe you, I'm right there with you. Because just the simple act of reaching out to others may itself be trail magic for another person on the path. It may be the hope needed for another just to keep going.
I can't tell you that I've completely given up worrying or that I'll never worry again. Oh, dear Lord, I do, and those who know me know I do. But those who know me also know that I aim not to let it consume me, not to let it run me or to run away with my life. And those people give me hope and help me along my way at all the moments when I need it most.
Possessions can possess you. Money can buy you and own you. Various concerns can concern you. Work can work you. Work can work you to death. There is indeed liberation in letting go of some things.
Ralph Waldo Emerson once said, "If a person owns land, then the land owns them."
Don't let worry make you miss life.
I have heard it said that worry is a misuse of God's gift of your imagination.
Can I get an amen?
That is true.
Have hope in humanity. Concern yourself with someone else's worries. And practice the graceful art of living while you're living.
Take a walk. Heck, take a hike.
Look at the birds. Look at the flowers. Look outside of yourself. May it be so.